everybody. Welcome to the Hallmarkies podcast. I am Cammie Clements. I am also known as Hooked Hardy, and I have a very, very special guest with me today. I'm going rogue. This is a surprise interview for everybody on the podcast, so none of the other team knows about this. So I'm going undercover. So I have with me today one of my favorite people. This is Mr. Milo Shandell. Say hi, Milo.
Hi, everyone. How are you? What's up?
You will know him as the authority figure in every movie he's in.
That's right.
Let's see. You've been a newspaper editor. You've been a teacher. You've been a bank president.
Yep.
A couple of times.
Twice, yes.
What else? You've been an author. That's its own authority figure,
yeah,
right there.
That's right. I tend to get all those sorts of the large and in charge kind of roles.
Yeah. And that, I think that describes you very well, sir.
It's funny because it doesn't describe my personal life whatsoever, because my three kids, they're, well, you know, I like to pretend I'm in charge, but I'm not at all.
We'll just they're keep that our little secret.
They are in charge, yes.
Just don't tell my children that.
Okay. All right.
Promise. Okay.
You swear.
Okay, for everybody out there listening, just be prepared with Kleenexes because you're going to be crying because you're going to laugh so hard.
Oh, yeah. Okay, good, because I thought you wanted me to tell that story about my dog dying when I was nine. We're going to be crying. It's going to be so sad. Please bear with me. I just have to get through this. It's okay.
You're making me sound very unprofessional here, Milo. Okay, so
yeah.
First of all, what we like to do is we like to just have you introduce yourself and tell a little bit about what inspired you to become an actor. So for everyone listening, this is my second time getting to talk with Milo because he was kind enough to give me an interview several months back, but this is his first time on the podcast, so... What inspired you to become an actor, and just tell us a little bit about yourself and good stuff.
Awesome. Well, I grew up, both my parents were actors. So I grew up in Vancouver in Canada, and my parents both did a lot of theater. They studied theater in university, and they became professional actors. So I was kind of around it pretty much my whole life, although I didn't really know that that's the direction I wanted to go in until I got into high school and I started doing high school drama and musicals and everything. And then, I decided to continue that post-secondary. And so I went to, I moved to Toronto to go to Ryerson, which had a very, very prestigious theater school. And I did that for 3 years, and then I just started getting work in Toronto, and I lived in Toronto for 20 years and did a lot of theater, a lot of musical theater. I toured with Mamma Mia for years and years, and then eventually moving back to Vancouver, which is where my family was living and my wife's family as well. You pretty much have to do film and television if you want to make a living as an actor in Vancouver. So it was a natural segue, and I've been very, very fortunate to work quite a bit, not just in the Hallmark world, but lots of kids TV and
all over,
all kinds of stuff. Yeah. So I think that as far as my inspiration, I mean, it was my parents. I think it was my parents, yeah. And just my own love of performing and being sort of a naturally hammy sort of person, which you know, and perhaps now the podcast listeners will start to get an idea of as we continue.
We spoke with Dylan Neal not too long ago.
Oh, yeah.
And one thing he said that was so funny is he said, you know, a lot of actors will say the reason they became an actor, and they'll say all of these grand ideas of why they became an actor. And he said, let's just face it.
It's what,
Yeah, it's what Laurence Olivia said. I want everybody to look at me. You know.
So, oh yeah, yeah, totally. No, absolutely. And I think the root of what I love about it is making people laugh, and that immediate response that you get, and that rush of endorphins that you get when people are laughing at your whatever you're doing. You know, I think that was the root of it. And, you know, it changes and it matures as you get older. You start to go like, oh, I don't want to just make people laugh. I want to make people feel, you know, I want to make them, you know, feel, I want them to be emotional and make them cry and make them hate me if I'm a bad guy, you know, that kind of stuff. So, but it's all, it all comes down to having an effect on people and reaching uh-huh. people. And I think that's kind of the root of it, really, whether you reach them through laughter, or whether you reach them through the other emotions. So.
I was about to say that Mr. Jenkins, what a hoot.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Oh yeah. I don't know what emotions I was eliciting in people with that one, but I think we did the whole, he's a nice guy. Oh, he's not so nice. Oh, he's okay. But I think Jenkins finally got redeemed though at the end when he you know, realized that he was not going to sell to old nefarious, mustache twirling
right.
villain guy. He didn't have a mustache. Ironically, there was no mustache to twirl, but yeah. Shaughnessy does not have a mustache.
So I have figured it out. I know the next step for Jenkins. He's going to Brookfield. Yeah. He's going to Brookfield.
Yes, totally. He's going back east, and I always thought that it would be great to bring Jenkins back. Like he's all, I think we talked about this last time, you know,
but go ahead because they haven't. Yeah, the podcast hasn't.
Yeah. So he took the money, you know, he sold the bank, he took the money and he went off somewhere and lost it all gambling or something like that. You know, and he comes back to Hope Valley and he's like, you know, he's got all these little beard and his clothes are all ripped. And he's like, oh, please take me back into the community. I miss you all. You know, come on, remember me. Hey, remember me. It's Jenkins. Come on. You know, but then, you know, he's redeemed by the love of a good woman. Who did we
Florence.
Decide to drink?
Florence.
Yes, that's yes. right. Yeah. I thought that'd be a really nice. I thought that'd be a really nice arc for him, but yeah, no, go to Brookfield. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, anything that extends the life of this character would be terrific. So.
No, but seriously, that would be so much fun if Jenkins mm-hmm. showed up in Brookfield. They don't know him there. And so,
and they think he's like some kind of con man. But he's like, no, I did. I owned a bank, really. Ask your friends. It was me. Yeah.
Just write a letter or send a wire to Rosemary and Lee. They'll tell you.
That's right.
Actually, they're probably not the best people.
Yeah. Maybe he could open. He could open like a, I don't know, a cafe or something.
Yeah, too late. There's already a cafe in Brookfield.
Yeah, of course there is.
Yeah.
Video score. He's at the forefront of new technology.
Wow. Go Jenkins.
What year is it set in again?
Maybe a little early. 17 is where we are now.
1970? Oh, perfect. No.
Not 17. 17. All right. So the last time we talked, you had just, Mystery 101, Words Can Kill was just about to air, or it had just aired. So that was when we talked. So how did that go, and how did you like the turnout, and did everything go okay with that?
That was great. I really, we had such a nice time filming that. And Jill and Chris are such great leads, you know, they're both so welcoming and I really enjoyed it. When I watched it, I was like, this is really, you know, this is good. Like, they've got such a nice repartee together, those two. You know, like it's almost like watching. Remember Moonlighting?
Yes.
Remember, you know, with Cybill Shepherd and Bruce Willis? Like,
yeah,
this nice, like, kind of Moonlighting vibe. You know, which I think is just awesome. So that's a terrific series. I think it's just.
I never would have put that into words, but they don't quite fight as much, and they don't slam as many doors.
But they've got that kind of spiky, you know, like, you know, oh, do they kind of have a thing for each other or don't?
Right.
You know, like it's you know, you never quite know where they're coming from. So, but they're both really nice people too. And the director was great, Andy Makita. He's directed a ton of stuff. I'm sure he's done a lot of other Hallmark movies as well. So.
Oh, did you say Andy Makita?
Yeah.
He is, I'm checking my handy dandy notebook here. Mm-hmm. He directed the second Martha's Vineyard mystery, Riddled with Deceit, okay. That's coming up. Yeah. Good. All right, everybody. So make that connection now.
Yep.
Mystery 101, Words Can Kill, is the same director as Riddled with Deceit, a Martha's Vineyard mystery.
That's right.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
By the way, for your video podcast watchers here, this name at the bottom of my screen there, that's not me. It is. It is me. That's my real name, my stage name. Is Milo Shandell. My real name is Christine. You can see why I had to change it. So.
Just like I'm not really Rachel Wagner.
That's right. Oh my God, yes, you're Rachel Wagner. Rachel and Christine are having the best conversation right now. You're like the best audience, Cammy. God love you.
Well, I'm glad someone thinks so because other people just think I'm annoying with how much I laugh and can't stop. So
it's okay.
Is
there
so
really
times.
Too much laughter in the world? We have to start criticizing people for laughing.
So many times he won't criticize me for it, but my husband, he'll something will happen and I'll start laughing and he'll go, okay, just you know, give her about 10 minutes. You know?
Yeah. Let's go make a sandwich and just give Cammy all the time.
Right. Just wait for Cammy to quit.
Gather her thoughts.
I told you, everybody, he's dangerous.
Yeah. But this is good. This is what editing is for. So you can, right. You can edit out the breaks.
All right. So since Mystery 101, you've done Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Yeah.
You've done Nancy Drew, mm-hmm. Babysitter's Club.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you've been busy.
Busy year. Really, I had a great year last year. Are You Afraid of the Dark is very interesting. That's that Nickelodeon. It's a reboot of a show
right.
in the 90s. And
I remember I was always terrified to watch it because I'm such a scaredy cat, so I never watched it.
And this one is really spooky too. So
it
was a limited series. We did three episodes, and I hope that they bring it back for like a full season.
So apparently
it did very well.
Good.
Ratings wise. So we'll see what happens. But in Babysitter's Club, I'm kind of in it very briefly, but that's coming out on Netflix pretty soon.
Were you a teacher?
Of course, yes.
There you go.
Apparently, there's something about me that people think I make a good teacher or a bad teacher. Actually, I always play bad teachers. That's the irony.
Really?
I'm never a good teacher. I'm never like Robin Williams in Dead Poets Society. I'm never like the inspiring teacher. I'm always like the boring, droning, you know. Like, you remember in Ferris Bueller's Day Off? You remember the TV?
Oh, yeah. Bueller.
Yeah, the Spanish-American. Anyone? War? Anyone? Yeah, so that's pretty much what I do.
Way does the prison symbolize?
And the kids are all like this.
Whoa.
So even in Are You Afraid of the Dark? You were a bad teacher in that one.
Oh yeah, it was hilarious. Oh. The writer, I think I kind of brought this to the part. Like, there wasn't that much on the page as far as this character, but I think during the audition process, the writer and the director were kind of like, oh, let's sort of make this teacher a bit, you know, let's give him something, you know, more of a life and a background. So, so I'm this, like, we just started improvising and basically I'm this, you know, I'm a math teacher, but I was never supposed to be a math teacher because I actually trained as a drama teacher. And then I go into like a whole backstory about how I'm a failed actor. And not that I had research that one too much, but so anyway, and I just go on. And they kept the camera rolling. And I just got kept like yammering away, you know, to the kids. And the kids, what's funny is that, you know, when they shoot the scene on the cameras on me and you see the back of the kids' heads, they're all cracking up, but you can't see that because it's the back of their head. So the kids are all laughing.
How did you keep a straight face? I mean, seriously, how did you keep a straight face with all of the kids cracking up and you just yammering on? I mean,
I'm a professional.
He's a professional. He's laughing now.
Semi-professional.
Oh, semi. Okay. Okay.
Yeah,
fair enough.
Semi-professional.
Semi-am?
Semi-am. but yeah, right. So that's a great project. I'm very excited. Hopefully it'll continue. And then what else did I do?
Mila, I'm also seeing Love Guaranteed. That's supposed to come out in 2020. What's going on with that? What's that?
Does it say 2020?
It does.
Oh, okay. It's 2020 now.
Yeah, New Year's, fireworks, sparklers, right. Kiss at midnight, you know.
New Year's? Yeah. Yes, Love Guaranteed. So don't blink or you'll miss me. But I'm in it very briefly, but it's a rom-com on Netflix. It stars Damon Wayans Jr., who I'm a very big fan of.
Okay.
Heather Graham is in it. Rachel Lee Cook is the female lead. She's a terrific actress and super nice person. I play, I'm in it very briefly. I play a scientist in the science of love. And I'm called to the stand to give testimony about how the science of love works. So I'm just very briefly in one scene, but it was a lot of fun. And another part where I get to spout off a whole bunch of kind of complicated technical jargon seems to be one of the things that I do a lot of. And interesting,
that was the best part of Love on the Menu.
I know all the thing about the frozen fish sticks.
Oh,
well, the
yeah.
history, let me tell you the history of fish sticks. It's like, oh, good Lord.
Rapt attention. You know, I couldn't get away from my TV screen. I know, it's staring at it.
I did not know that about fish sticks. But that's what I do, right? I mean, like I wish that there was a Star Trek show shooting in Vancouver, because then I could do
sci-fi
kind of jargon, like all that. That'd be really fun.
Well, and you've got the Picard hairstyle down perfectly.
Yes. So make show number one. Engage. Yeah. I'll play.
Oh my gosh. Picard's, oh my gosh. Hire this man now.
Yeah. I'll play his fatter brother.
Okay.
Just as bald.
Love Guaranteed. Very good.
Yeah, thank you. Love Guaranteed. Oh, interesting thing about Love Guaranteed. The writer and director. I think he's just the director of this one. Mark Johnson.
Okay.
he directed the adaptation of the John Irving novel, A Prayer for Owen Meany, which was called Simon Birch in the film. So they called the film Simon Birch. This is maybe 20 years ago, I think.
Yes. Maybe a little longer ago. Oh my gosh. I cried like a baby in that movie.
Yeah,
oh
yeah.
My gosh.
It's crazy. And the novel is a masterwork. It's really one of the great American novels. So that film was shot in Toronto when I was a young theater actor. And that was one of my first times ever on a film set. I was a background on that. And when I auditioned
Who were you?
Oh, just background, background guy.
In a crowd or in a specific scene? Oh, you were in the hospital. Okay.
Crowd, yeah. So there's a scene where the baby's born and he's kind of like a sort of like he's a very small baby.
Right.
And we're all sort of like craning our necks to try and get a look at the crazy looking baby. But that was one of my very first jobs. So when I auditioned for Love Guaranteed, I actually told him in the room, I said, I have to tell you, one of my first times ever on set was on Simon Birch. And he was like, you could see him go, whoa, Simon Birch. He said, did we shoot that here? Was that it? And I said, no, it was in Toronto. And, anyway.
Hey, we'd like to take a quick time out from our podcast and thank one of our wonderful sponsors. So I don't know about you, but are you ever in a dinner rut, as far as what to cook or how many groceries to buy or when to find the time to do all of that? Because I know I have. Well, say hello to HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit. So break out of that rut, because you're about to all become chefs. HelloFresh has more five-star recipes than any other meal kit, so you know you'll be getting something delicious. And you can add extra meals or lunches to your weekly order. You can throw in some delicious sides and desserts like garlic bread or cookie dough. You can add in cookie dough. Awesome. And you can easily change your delivery days or food preferences. And you can skip a week whenever you need. You're not bound to receive food every single week if you don't need it. This is my favorite part. HelloFresh's pre-portioned ingredients mean there's less prep for you and less food to waste. I have 4 kids. They are constantly wasting food. But if I know exactly what I'm getting in all of the packages and the boxes, then there is so much less waste and it's so much better for me because I don't have all that prep. Okay. And can we talk? I have gotten a HelloFresh box waiting for me on my porch and it was so cool. Listen to this: pork and poblano tacos, juicy Lucy burgers, balsamic fig chicken. How delicious does that sound? I am so excited for these meals. Go to HelloFresh.com/Hallmarkies10 and use the code Hallmarkies10 and you'll get 10 free meals, including shipping. So that's HelloFresh.com/Hallmarkies10 with the code Hallmarkies10 for 10 free meals, including free shipping. So enjoy, because I know that I'm going to.
I think that's why I got the part.
Oh,
without a doubt. Always tell a personal story in your audition and you'll get the part.
Duly noted, I will remember
sometimes
that.
Sometimes it backfires on you, believe me.
Yeah.
But you don't want to get too personal. Yeah.
No.
Anyway, that was very cool. That was very cool. So, and it was
very
a cool
good.
Set. We shot in the Vancouver Art Gallery, which is like a really beautiful old building and right in downtown Vancouver. So yeah.
Uh-huh. Awesome. Mm. All right. Now we come to the big event.
Yes.
Dead Over Diamonds. Picture Perfect Mysteries. Your name is James Ryson. Is that how you say it?
Rice End. Yeah.
Okay. So we did a February preview here on the podcast, me and two other co-hosts. Mm-hmm. And so I made a prediction. I predicted, so you're going to have to tell me if I'm right or not. I predicted that you were the director of the gallery where the diamonds are being kept. Am I close?
Well, you'd think. I mean, you know, it sounds like my entire resume. But no, it's close. But actually, I'm a rich guy. I'm a very rich guy. And ooh. I actually own the necklace that is being displayed in the gallery.
Well, that's close-ish.
Yeah. And so the necklace that gets stolen, that kicks off the whole plot of the film. So I'm the owner of the necklace.
The owner of the necklace. Okay, yes. So did you buy the necklace for your wife? Is it a family heirloom? How did you acquire the necklace?
I'm a collector. I didn't buy it for my wife, but I'm a collector. So I do have it's the Rise End collection that's being shown off. So there's lots of other there's lots of other paintings and photography and sculpture and all kinds of stuff. So this is all my big collection in the gallery. So.
Oh, so apparently there are a lot of diamonds to show off in the Rice End collection.
Yeah. Wow. But this is the most valuable piece, absolutely. So.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
And so I pop in, you know, throughout the story, you know, saying like, how's the investigation going? And, you know, are we gonna, you know, and you know, they want to talk to my brother, who's my sort of right-hand man and assistant, and we cooperate in the investigation. And yeah.
Is James married or is he a bachelor?
He's a bachelor, I believe. Yeah. No, he is a bachelor.
Oh, well. Yes. Then definitely can't talk to his wife. Yeah.
No, that's right. Yes, I'm just remembering now. No, he is a bachelor because, there's lots of twists and turns in the story. So, but the very interesting thing about this movie, it was directed by Ron Oliver, who I believe has directed the other Picture Perfect Mysteries. And he also directed one that I was in last year, I believe, with Dylan, with Dylan Neal. And if I could remember the name of it, that would be really good.
That's why we have IMDb.
Got the IMDb. Truly, Madly, Sweetly. That's what.
Truly, Madly, Sweetly. Yes.
Yeah. So Ron. Ron is an incredible character. He always dresses in full suits when he's directing on set. He always looks terrific.
Wow.
And I remember one day he showed up. He was in a beautifully tailored suit. And his shoes and his pocket square matched, and they were both leopard print. So,
oh my goodness.
I'm sure they weren't made from real leopard. I'm sure it was fake.
Sure.
I don't think you can do that.
Probably not.
No. And he always plays, he has a playlist. He's got a little, like a little speaker, and he puts music on and while we're doing setups in between takes. And it's always like very, you know, sort of pick something to kind of, you know, set the mood. He's very involved in the look of the films that he directs. So his concept for this one was he wanted everyone to look like it was sort of like a James Bond film, you know, so everybody's looking sort of kind of like mid to late 60s, turtlenecks and, you know, postmodern furniture and, you know, the sets and the locations that he selected.
Do we get you in the tux? Do we get you in a tux?
Oh, yeah,
that's what I wanted.
Yeah, I'm in a tux. And
All right.
Well, it's a tux, but not a bow tie tux. It's like a necktie tux. But you know, everybody looks terrific, and it's very like done like kind of almost like a spy movie, you know, which is very fitting for a crime mystery like that. So
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, well, that was the really cool thing. We were just talking about that on the preview. We were just talking about how the first Picture Perfect Mysteries was very reminiscent of Charlie's Angels and old crime. That even the introduction, it had all of the old pictures and the old colors that they used with all those old crime TV shows. And so that's awesome to hear that.
Yeah. So no, it was very cool. So I was really happy to be involved in it. And I think it's going to be really good.
Did he ever play Dancing Queen to set the mood for a scene?
Oh, probably. I think he did, actually. I think he may have. I mean, you know, like, yeah, I he must have. I'm pretty sure that was in there at some point. Maybe not Dancing Queen, but there was some ABBA song. I'm almost 100% sure.
Uh-huh. Everybody listening, in case you missed it in the beginning, Milo toured with Mamma Mia for what, 6 years, was it?
Six. Yeah, that's right. 6 years.
Yeah, and he totally killed it. So,
a lot of spandex. Those are my spandex days.
Oh, boy. Yeah. All right. So was there anything that you can share about a funny behind the scenes story? I mean, obviously talking about Ron Oliver was behind the scenes, but was there anything that you said, oh, if we had a blooper reel, then this would be on it?
The guy playing my brother, his name's Matthew Harrison. He's also done a ton of Hallmark stuff, and he's a very accomplished actor, also a very accomplished acting teacher. He had to deliver this line. He had to deliver sort of a little semi-monologue while making a martini.
And oh my goodness.
Ron insisted that normally you're making a martini for a movie, it's water, you know, they're not gonna use. So, but Ron insisted that we use actual vodka for the martini.
Now, no one is that allowed?
Sure. Yeah. Oh, I mean, no one was drinking it, but, he was like, he's delivering this monologue and he's like, you know, he's putting the ice in the shaker and then adding the vodka and like a little vermouth. And he's like having to shake it and he's having to shake it, while not doing it, he'll have to deliver his line and then shake and then deliver.
Right. So he can't have a shaky voice.
Exactly. You don't want to be shaking over the dialogue. So anyway, the time it took to coordinate all of that while he's like shaking this martini. And of course, you know, there were a few times where he just cracked up and everybody started cracking up because it was so ridiculous. But that was the martini day. And you know, the last shot of the day is called the martini shot. When you get to the end of a filming day, your
I
last
did not
shot
know that. Martini.
Yeah. Yeah. So
it's been a while since I've been on a film set. So
it's kind of one of those things, everyone will start saying, all right, this is our martini. This is our martini. Here we go. Last shot of the day. And everybody gets all excited because they're
thinking
of going and having their own martini at home afterwards.
Right.
But that was one of those crazy things as an actor where you just go, what am I doing? I'm sitting here. I'm making a martini, but I'm having to deliver a monologue. And it's like, you know, it's the most unnatural thing in the world because if you were just making a martini and talking to somebody, you'd be making the martini and you'd be talking, you know, and you're like, yeah, okay, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, this is like, you know, line, 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 shake, 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 line, 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 pour, line, 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 you know. So it's hard. He nailed it, though. I mean, Matthew.
Oh, definitely. Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw him on the cast list, and he's been in several mysteries, not just mm-hmm. Hallmark, but he's been mm-hmm. in several mysteries. So, mm-hmm. man, you two as brothers, that's going to be fun.
It was
that's
fun.
That's going to be
it
really fun.
Yeah, it was fun. And I'm the dominant brother, just so you know.
Oh, well, yeah. we'll remember
he's like,
that.
He's my less successful brother.
So was he cut out of the inheritance or something like that, or are you a
I'm a self-made man. I'm hired,
okay,
you
know?
Like he's only there because of me, right?
Okay
brought him into my fold, so yeah.
Oh well, lucky him.
should be grateful.
So was he was he the older brother and you're just the dominant one, or were you and dominant?
I'm older and dominant. Yeah.
Okay.
Brother. Yes.
Oh man, he's got two strikes against him. Right. Poor guy.
But he's got more hair than me, so I guess, you know, whatever.
But you're taller.
Yeah. Little bit.
You're taller. Yeah. Okay, so you've already told me this, but just for everybody, we all know that Eric Estrada is going to be in this film, and that you never got a chance to have a scene with them. No chips.
I would have been. It's probably for the best, because I would have been like, hey, punch! Yeah, all right. Let's go.
Hey, you're a professional.
On our motorbike. No, I used to love Chips. Chips was the best. That was a great show. That was a great show. John and Punch.
But you're a professional, so that never would have happened.
Yeah, you know what's funny? I'm pretty good when I meet actors that I grew up watching. I'm pretty, uh-huh. pretty chill. But when you get me around like a rock star or a musician, I become like a total like idiot fan. And I can't like express myself, and I get like really like, oh, I think you're so awesome. I don't know, do we have time for a stupid story? A dumb little story?
So please.
When Christine Audie Shandell and I were working on, she and I did the Disney Cruise Line together. We did the main stage entertainment.
Oh, yes.
We did those shows together. So that was great. That was like a year and a half. We were working on a cruise ship. We were in the Bahamas. It was awesome. And you know, we'd been together for 10 years at that point. So we were a well-established couple. And so
were you guys married at that point, or
no? We were. We got married right after that. Yeah.
Okay.
We took some of the money we made and we, you know, got married after that.
Okay.
We used to have our day off in the Bahamas in Nassau, and Nassau is kind of one of those places where a lot of celebrities go. For like little quick getaway vacations. So we were at this very nice restaurant in Nassau, and. And Christine suddenly turns to me and goes, oh, look who just walked in. It's Larry Mullen Jr. from U2. And I went,
oh, no.
U2. Well, U2 is my favorite band. U2 have been my favorite band since I was like 13 years old. So,
oh, wow.
This was in about 2000, and they just put out one of their greatest albums ever. And anyway, uh-huh. I was like, what do you mean? And we're sitting there. Christine was like, oh God, I shouldn't have said anything. And our friends are looking at us like, what's wrong with Milo? What's happening? She's like, don't worry. It's okay. He'll get over it. Anyway, so
he'll be fine.
He'll be fine. So they take Larry Mullen and his wife out to, the back, the courtyard patio, you know, it's this uh-huh. beautiful, lush, tropical courtyard. And of course they give him a table in the dark corner, you know, because he's a very famous rock star. So, you know, I of course had to find multiple excuses why I had to go out to the courtyard patio several times through the course of dinner, just to sort of, you know, like I pretended I was looking for the bathroom. I pretended I was looking for the kid. I'm sorry, sir. Is our food coming? Because we're eating. Meanwhile, I'm like looking over in the corner at Larry Mullen. And he clocked me too. He knew I was stalking him. He was like, you could see how uncomfortable he was. So, you know, I just become an idiot when I'm around rock stars.
Oh my
but actors, you're an actor, I'm an actor, big deal.
So so who have you not run into that would be your ultimate dream? Who would you love to run into one day?
Geez. Oh my gosh. You mean just in general, acting wise, music?
Let's do both. Music wise, and then who would you love to work with one day?
Oh, if I ever ran into Bono, I think by all accounts, Bono's one of those guys who, if you meet him in a bar, he'll talk your ear off and he'll just sit down and start, you know, yakking away like he's, you know, your new best friend, you know? But I think that would be incredible. That would be amazing. As far as an actor goes, gosh, you know, I think like if I met Brad Pitt, I think mm-hmm. I told you the Brad Pitt story.
You did. You told me the Brad okay. Pitt story, but tell everybody.
I didn't meet him. Okay. Well, I was doing a movie called Okja, which is on Netflix, and it's actually by Bong Joon-ho, who is nominated for an Oscar this year for his film Parasite. And he won the Golden Globe. I think it won the Critics' Choice Award. I think he won Best Director for Critics' Choice. Anyway, he's nominated for an Oscar. He might actually win. I think he's going to win Best Director this year. He's a South Korean writer-director, real visionary, has a very singular, unique take on things. So anyway, so we're doing this movie. I'm shooting in Manhattan. We're in the middle of Manhattan in a skyscraper. And I'm shooting with Giancarlo Esposito from Breaking Bad, and we're shooting with Tilda Swinton, who's just like a goddess, amazing actress.
Witch in the Wardrobe. That's my favorite
Gyllenhaal,
one with
her. Jake Gyllenhaal as well.
Jake Gyllenhaal.
So he's in the scene. Anyway, so I'm shooting with these stars, and I'm like, hey, yeah, cool, all right. Anyway, I get called to set at a certain point. We were on a break, and then I got called back to set. And as I'm walking past the Video Village, which is where the director sits and the producers and the editor and everything, I see this guy. He's wearing a white t-shirt, white jeans, a white pork pie hat. It's July in New York City, by the way. So he's dressed all in white, and he sort of had these glasses on, and I was like, who's that guy? Look at what that guy's wearing. He looks like an idiot. And as I get a little closer, I realize it's Brad Pitt. I'm looking at Brad Pitt.
Brad Pitt decided, a loser.
Yeah, it's like, oh my god, look at that idiot. Wow, I can't believe what he's wearing. Brad Pitt was one of the producers on the film, so he chose that day to come visit the set. So anyway, he gets as I'm walking past, I realize it's Brad Pitt, and I get closer
and
closer,
didn't say anything.
No, well, of course I wouldn't say anything. I'm Canadian. I'm way too polite. I just silently think it. You know, I it's silent judgment.
Of course.
But as I get closer, I realize, oh my god, he actually looks really good in that outfit. The guy, like, I mean, come on, the guy could wear like a gunny sack and, you know, flip flops, and he'd look amazing, right? Like, so he looked awesome.
So you so want to work with him one day?
Well, I'd like to meet him formally, you know.
Okay.
I wouldn't tell him that story about seeing him on the set of Oak Chuck. No, but I
think that's a wise choice.
Yeah, but you know, by all accounts, he's a very interesting guy. Very, you know, loves his family. Mm-hmm. You know, he's always talking about his parents and his siblings back in I think they're somewhere in Missouri. And but he's also like a real fan of architecture. I think it'd be a very interesting cat to talk to anyway. But,
Yeah.
So I think he would definitely be one. I'd love to meet Robert De Niro. I'd love to meet like Eddie Murphy, Jerry Seinfeld, you know, some of these comedy titans that I grew up watching.
So that you can go through what I'm going through right now and just not being able to catch your breath.
I would just not talk. I would just sit back and listen. That's
Oh my goodness. Well, Milo, this has been such a delight. To finish up, we just have a couple of fun, silly questions for you to answer. So
before we get to those, though, can I mention one more thing that I'm doing as well?
Please. Yes. We always love to hear upcoming projects.
This is another Hallmark. It's
Yay!
Called Matching Hearts. Starring
Ryan
Peavy and Taylor Cole. Yeah, I'm in Matching Hearts.
You weren't on the list.
It's, oh, really?
You,
oh.
No,
really?
You weren't.
Isn't that interesting? I got to call my agent right now.
Yeah. Okay, well, now you've got to tell us about Matching Hearts. Yes. Who do you play in Matching Hearts?
I play Taylor Cole's dad, who owns a flower shop. And so she and Ryan Peavy meet each other. He's opened up a pet, like a pet rescue shop down the street, you know, where they take in stray dogs and they find new homes for them. And she's kind of a career woman, you know, it's the hallmark.
Yeah.
She's a career woman and, you know, doesn't have time for, you know, relationships or anything like that. And they meet each other and her mom and I, you know, we own the flower shop and we're always encouraging her, you know, we're very supportive, loving parents. And, but, it's actually kind of nice because I get to play a bit of a goofball. You know, as a dad, I'm like one of those, like, you know, goofy dads who, you know, tells lots of dad jokes and everything like that. So
the embarrassing dad.
The embarrassing, although she doesn't seem embarrassed by me, thankfully.
Oh, unlike that's
my own
good.
Children who are constantly embarrassed by me.
It's your job.
I know. I can't. That's what I tell them. It's like, look, do you like the clothes you're wearing right now? Because, you know, that's because you wouldn't be wearing them if daddy wasn't a goofball.
Are you old enough to be her father? That's all I want to know. You know, maybe.
She's very youthful and beautiful.
I
think the question to ask is, how could that gorgeous creature be in any way connected to me and my bloodline?
Oh, come on. You have a very distinguished look. You're welcome. Yeah.
But we had a great time doing that. And Taylor and Ryan are awesome people. And Ryan, I don't know if you know this, Hallmarkies, but Ryan is a huge fan of Tenacious D. And he kind of likes the metal a little bit, which is very...
Really?
Yeah. I was very... Like, he and I started bonding over our shared love of Tenacious D. And so I was very interested by that. That's the second time I've done a show with Ryan.
We got the inside info on Ryan, everybody.
Oh, yeah, hopefully I'm not telling tales out of school. Taylor is, I've mentioned Erin Krako and how she's absolutely the nicest woman in show business. Taylor might be, I think Taylor and Erin are like 1 and 1A as far as like being the nicest. She is like such a doll. And the movie was directed by a friend of mine, Siobhan Devine, who is a, we worked together on my kids' show, Mr. Young, back in the day, and she directed a bunch of episodes, and she's also directed episodes of Kim's Convenience, which is an excellent, hilarious Canadian sitcom available on Netflix right now, or through the CBC Gem app. Siobhan has also directed a fantastic independent film called The Birdwatcher that I think is on Amazon. So we had a great time. It was awesome. And so that's, it was, like I said, it was a very busy year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. You were on the list and she wasn't on the list as the director. Right. So I am so glad you said something because
inside
I had no
info.
Idea.
Yeah.
Yes. Man, we get you on both channels this month here in the States.
This awesome. Yeah. I think it's February 8th. I think Matching Hearts airs on February 8th. So
you're correct, sir. Yeah. I've got everything all written down.
You know, it's the season of Milo coming up.
Yes. Yeah. Milo, not Milo, everybody.
That's
Milo.
Right. Kilo, not Silo. Yeah.
All right. So who played your wife?
Jessica Steen.
Okay. That sounds familiar.
Jessica Steen. Yeah, she plays my wife. And it was great. We had a really fun time. It was really fun.
Good.
There were some nice party scenes that we got to take part in, and we had to. I remember one night they were shooting this Valentine's party, and we just had to dance for hours and hours. It's just like getting shots of people dancing and, you know, but then you can't just dance, right? Like you can't just be dancing. You have to like make sure that when the camera comes around that you fade off into the back so that they can shoot past you and you're not blocking, you know, as they're trying to get like a particular couple, you know, in the background or
right.
whatever. So it's just, it's all this, you know, this choreography that you have to go through, but it's still fun anyway.
Yeah. Oh,
you know, the hardest thing about doing a Valentine's movie is that the set dressing, there's just like chocolate everywhere and you can't eat it because it's like a hot set. Like if you start eating the chocolate, then, you know, the continuity won't match from take to take. So there's chocolate everywhere. And like chocolate, have you ever had a chocolate covered gummy bear?
No, I haven't.
Oh, I don't know
where I haven't lived.
I don't know where in Texas you can get some chocolate covered gummy bears, but you got to get your hands on some. So
maybe I need to make my own.
You could make your own. Yeah, just make sure it's milk chocolate. Get some gummy bears. You know, like dip them in the milk chocolate, stick them in the fridge, let them, you know, cool and harden. So good, honestly.
We have this thing down here called Magic Shell. Do you guys have Magic Shell up there?
Oh, where you put it on the ice cream and then it just like hardens. Yeah, we've got that. Yeah.
Right. So if I put gummy bears in the fridge for a little bit and then pull them out and put the Magic Shell on it, would that work?
Really good. Yeah.
Okay.
I think that would work. Anyway, there were bags of these chocolate covered gummy bears, and I was just like, oh, come on. Like when we finish the scene, can we at least like have one, you know? The answer was
I would have thought that it would have been disgusting, you know, because they just set it out to look pretty, but
no. It was good. They're delicious. I didn't get to eat those ones specifically, but speaking of delicious, I don't know why I'm getting onto this, but have you ever made Oreo balls?
Yes.
Where you take the Oreo with cream cheese and then you cover it all in chocolate and then you stick it in the fridge.
I've never made them, but I've had them and I don't particularly care for Oreos, but I make an exception.
Yeah. It's the easiest thing in the world. You just literally take a whole pack of Oreos, you throw them in a big bowl with like a couple of sticks of cream cheese and you just squish it all together and like form it into balls. And then you basically pour melted milk chocolate over it and then stick it in the fridge or the freezer and let them cool. And oh man, those are so good.
Are you okay?
I'm going to be all right. I think I need to have breakfast.
You haven't eaten
anything yet?
Now that
I've gotten on the food.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we better hurry up and ask you these ending questions so that you can go get us some food. I didn't know that you were working hungry. Oh, man, this is going to be a great thing for you to say right now. Best ice cream flavor.
Oh, best ice cream flavor.
Don't get too hungry now.
I really like mint chocolate chip.
Actually. Oh, I love mint chocolate chip.
Yeah, like a good mint, not like the cheap stuff, you know, where the chocolate is like waxy, but like a really good mint chocolate chip.
You need to come down to Texas, my friend, and you need to get Bluebell because Bluebell is the best.
Oh,
yes. You didn't try Bluebell when you were touring in Austin, did you?
I may have. Is it something that you get at a grocery store? Like, is it like, or is it a like an ice cream place that you go to?
Both. The factory is here. Not in Austin, it's a little further away, but you can get Bluebell in any Texas grocery store and it's heavenly.
Oh, it
it's so good.
Awesome.
That and the cookies and cream. A lot of people say, cookies and cream is no good. I said, you haven't had Bluebell cookies and cream, my friend. You
know? It's funny the way certain places will make a certain flavor like better than anybody else.
Yeah.
You feel like you've never had it before when you have it.
Exactly. All right. Favorite color?
Blue.
What music are you into right now? What are you listening to?
Oh God, I love that. I love that new Dua Lipa song. You know that disco song that she does?
Ooh.
It's called like Stay or Don't Stay. I don't know what it's called.
You just like listening to it.
It's really good. It's like, don't give up, boom, 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 don't get up, boom, boom, boom.
Okay, totally disco. If you're listening right now, you need to switch over to YouTube right now so you can see Milo dancing it up here.
Oh, that's it's a great song. It's very disco, though. I think she sang it. She performed it on Dick Clark's Rockin' New Year's Eve with Ryan Seacrest.
Oh, okay.
It's the full title of the show now, by the way.
Dick Clark's Rockin' New Year's Eve
with Ryan Seacrest.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, we enjoyed that. I love that song. I'm listening to a lot of Post Malone right now as well.
Okay.
And then of course, you know, I U2, Radiohead.
Gotta love your U2.
All my favorite like old rock bands that my kids hate now, you know. Green Day. Like, oh.
Again.
This is the insult. The insult that I get whenever I play my music is they'll say, oh, is this like from the year 2000?
Like, oh my word.
I'm like joking? I'm like, no, it's 1995 actually.
Okay. Can you imagine that we're getting that kind of a put down now? Wow.
No, it's like, is this from the year 2000? It's like, what?
That does not feel that long ago.
I know. 20 years.
Oh, yeah, I know. Wow. Gosh, I can't believe it. All right. I know this answer, but let's hear it from you. Your go-to date night food.
Oh, geez. I must have answered this question before. Le Faux Bourgeois. Yes, the French bistro, Le Faux Bourgeois. I love French food, like steak frites and, they make this portobello mushroom. Oh, it's so good. And you know what? I like a nice arugula salad, like very simple arugula with a nice light balsamic dressing, maybe a little feta cheese on it. Delicious. Magnifique. Delicious.
I was going to say your go-to date night activity, but I think you just answered that. Is there something that you do besides?
Falling asleep on the couch. Falling asleep on the couch watching Vikings. That's pretty much.
There you go.
Yeah. Oh, I wish there was time for romance in our life, but we're very busy people and our kids are very
busy. Oh, I bet. What does your wife do?
She's a teacher. She was an actor and a performer.
Right.
And, she's teaching grade 10 English right now. She just got her teaching degree last year. I'm very, very proud of her. Got her Bachelor of Education at UBC. And so she's teaching and we're both writing. We're creating shows as well. And we have a show that's in development right now with Netflix that we created. It's a family youth show, and Netflix has bought the rights to it, and they're developing it, and hopefully they'll go into production, and we'll see something maybe at the end of this year into next year. So
that is fantastic.
Yeah.
You have to tell me when that comes out, because I so want to see that.
I will for sure, and yes. I hope it does. We'll keep our fingers crossed that they like the direction it's going in, and
yeah.
You know, Netflix, now that Disney Plus is out, Netflix lost a lot of their family content,
right?
So there's been a big push lately to replace that content with their own stuff, so
sure,
hopefully we've been able to kind of get in on that gravy train, so we'll see how it goes. But yeah, so look for that.
Oh, that's hopefully. Great.
I'll let you know when I have something I can actually tell you without violating my non-disclosure agreement.
excuse me. All right, dogs or cats?
Dogs.
Dogs. Oh, I like you already. beaches or mountains?
Oh, wow. When I was younger, I would have said mountains.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's beaches. I think, beaches are for relaxing, and mountains are for doing and action and climbing. And
that's very true.
I'm so tired these days. I need more relaxing in my life.
All right. Well yeah. said. Yeah. Okay. Also know the answer to this one, mm-hmm. and it's a little obvious by your current apparel, but suit and tie or sweats?
Oh, I thought you were going to say favorite baseball team. Do you know what? I like dressing up.
Oh, you do? Know?
Yeah, I do. I like wearing a suit and tie.
All right.
Yeah, I think.
He
I think
took it, me by surprise.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, sweats and, you know, I sort of throw this stuff on in the morning, you know, because I got to take the kids to school and make the lunches and everything. But I think given my druthers, I would probably, you know, dress up to a certain extent. At least a shirt and tie. At least a shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
Nice.
I think it's important to dress up.
Oh,
me and Ron Oliver.
Now you really need to come down to Texas, because I will put you up in a hotel and you need to have this conversation with my husband.
Yeah, but now it's easy to dress up when it's not hot, though. You know, like if like the summers that you guys have.
Oh, believe me, we are totally fine with dressing down in the summers. But, you know, right now it's 40 outside. You know, there's
Yeah, that's pretty cold.
Yeah, I'm in a little sweater. I'm in a little sweater dress.
That's pretty much the way it is here, actually. I think that's about the same temperature we've got right now. But it's probably not going to rain where you are.
Actually, it is. Today, it rained all night. It's raining all day today. Yeah, it is pouring rain. It's a cozy up. It's a cozy up under a blanket day.
We've got the same weather right now. Yeah.
You don't have any snow right now.
Well, we just did, actually. Last week, we had a couple of days of snowfall, and we had about a foot and a half of snow on the ground for a week, which is great. It's usually once or twice a year we get snow. But then it's gone a few days later. So right now, it's been raining for 3 days straight.
Oh, wow.
Welcome to Vancouver. Just ask David Duchovny how he feels about the Vancouver weather.
I will next time I chat with him.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, good. But yeah, so it's been raining for 3 days and it's washed away all the snow. So there's just like a few little remnants, like my kid's snowman in the backyard is just like a little tiny snowball now. So,
So on that note, snowball fight or snowman?
Oh, snowman.
Snowman. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. My kids would say snowball fight, but, yeah, snowman.
Okay. Favorite holiday, and you do not have to say Christmas just because you're on a Hallmarkies podcast.
I love Christmas. Yeah, no, it's Christmas for sure.
Yeah.
I love Christmas. Yeah. I mean, every year when it comes around, yeah, Christmas.
Yeah, I do.
It's not because of the presents. It's just because of everything. It's the feel, and it's family, and, you know, it's getting together for big meals, and, you know, it's, I love Christmas.
Okay, so given the oh yes.
Absolutely. Although I do get sick of it. Like, I'm happy to see the end of it when it finishes.
Right.
Every year when it starts, I'm like, oh, yay, Christmas time.
And see, that's okay for you guys up there because Thanksgiving is in October. So it's okay to have it in November. I still struggle with it a little bit down here, but that's just me.
Pretty close on the heels of Thanksgiving, isn't it, for you guys?
Yeah.
Yeah, by the time Christmas rolls around.
It's way before. It's close on the heels of Halloween. So,
It's true. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we do Thanksgiving and then we got Halloween like, you know, a week and a half or 2 weeks later. So, yeah.
Right. So given the holiday that we're approaching, what's your favorite Valentine's candy? We probably all know what the new one is, at least.
Chocolate covered gummy bears. Chocolate. You know what? I'm a real simple. Like I like the simple things. I like good quality milk chocolate.
Okay.
You know? So like.
Is there any particular kind that you like more than another?
Well, there's a couple of places up here. There's a place called Purdy's that's kind of it's like a chain up here, but it's but it's smaller, you know, so they make good quality milk chocolate. And
when they
start putting out their Valentine's, like their foil wrapped hearts and stuff, just give me like a good milk chocolate heart and I'm happy.
Milo's in the car on the way.
Definitely.
All right. So this one is one of my own, and I just got to know, what is going on with you with the picture on Twitter with you holding the dummy? I got to know what that's about.
That's from Mr. Young, which was the kids show that I did.
Way back when.
Yeah. I don't know if it's on Netflix in the U.S. anymore, but if you ever get a chance to see it, it's all over YouTube. I play a principal, a high school principal.
Right.
But it is like it's a kid's sitcom comedy. It's like goofy comedy, like absolutely, mm-hmm. you know.
There was an episode where
I end up, we go to this magic club, like a club for magicians, and I want to join the club, but I'm terrible at magic, so for some reason I end up with a ventriloquist dummy that looks exactly like me, and you know, so like I start doing like, what if I do this, maybe you'll let me join the club, but of course I'm the worst ventriloquist ever. And somehow the dummy actually manages to do a magic trick and fool me, even though I'm controlling. Yeah, it's you know how like on The Simpsons, Homer is the stupidest human being alive.
Yeah,
this principal Tater that I play on Mr. Young, I think he gives Homer a run for his money as being the stupidest person alive.
He's the human form of Homer.
Pretty much.
All right. And last but certainly not least, what's your favorite Hallmark movie? Doesn't have to be one of your own. Just what's your favorite Hallmark movie? Nope.
Well,
it can be.
I have to say right now, I think it's Matching Hearts.
Do you hear that, everybody?
Yeah. Matching Hearts, February 8th. I haven't seen the full thing from beginning to end, but what I have seen looks really good, and I, you know, I'm biased, of course, because you know I get to play like a nice, you know, sort of funny, goofy character in it.
Yeah.
Just, I don't know. Every time I think about shooting that, I get the warm fuzzies. So.
Well, that is great. So, Milo, where can people find you on social media?
I'm on Twitter at Milo Shandell, MiloShandel. You can find me on Facebook, Milo Shandell Actor. I'm on Instagram, Realo Milo. See what I did there?
R-E-A-L-O,
M-I-L-O. What other social media am I? That's pretty much it as far as social media goes. But you can go to my website. It's miloshandel.com. And look forward to interacting with everybody. And let me know if you catch any of these movies I'm in. And if you want to see more, I'll happily provide you with the address for Hallmark corporate office. You can write them a letter and say, we need more Milo.
Hey, you can do that no matter what, because that's we great. Always love our Milo.
Awesome.
All right, and you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Cami Drama Girl, Cami spelled K-A-M-I, and on Facebook I have the Hooked Hardy Facebook page, and my blog is hookedhardy.com. And you can follow the Hallmarkies Pod all over social media. And if you're listening on YouTube, please give us a thumbs up and write your reviews. So thank you so much, Milo. This has been awesome.
Thanks.
Bye, everybody.
Again, yeah, thanks.
Don't
Bye,
forget
everyone.
To thanks tune in.
Thanks for listening and watching, everyone. Thank you, Cami. Great talking to you again.
All right. And we are